all the industry news you want, you're listening to Biz Takeouts,
the Biz Community Marketing and Media Show on 2OV.fm.
Welcome to Thursday and welcome to Biz Takeouts, the marketing and media radio show brought to you by Two Oceans Vibe and Biz Community. On tonight's show, we are speaking to John Cooney, who's the MD of Red and Yellow School of Logic and Magic, which we'll find out a bit more about that later. But before we get into that chat, let's look at our top stories for the day. We've got Worldwide Works Infographic, which looks at the South African social media landscape for 2012. Worldwide Works sent out the headline findings of the South African social media landscape for 2012 study recently. The company summed up basically all the headline data in an easy-to-digest infographic. Some highlights, to give you some information on the infographic, you can get the full infographic on bizcommunity.com, but you can have a look at claiming that South Africa has got 5.3 million Facebook users. These are active users. Twitter's got 580,000, they're calling verified users, so we'll see what that means. Trevor Noah is apparently top of the list with a number of followers with 514,000. LinkedIn, 6.8 million users. Mixit, 9.35 million. Pinterest, 150,000 users. And then Foursquare, interestingly enough, 42,000 venues in South Africa and 175,000 users. And most people check into malls. So I don't know what that says about the South African social media network, but yeah, they're all going to malls to go buy stuff. So let's see what that says. Second story for the day. Are social media agencies prostituting your brands? This is by Melody Maker from Acceleration Media. She's saying the scandal recently about social media consulting firms buying fake followers to boost their own social media profiles as well as those of their clients is sad but not unexpected. It's direct consequence of the Wild West nature of social media, where there are many black hat guns for hire who will go to any lengths to achieve results that are favorable for their clients, or at least seemingly so. She's saying what many brands want is as many Facebook and Twitter followers as they can get, because they believe this is the true metric for success in the social media space. Actually, it's not the point. She's saying the controversial points are, there are basically two major issues in this. She's saying the one is we need to face up to the social media world. Firstly, we need to accept the size of social media community isn't the sole or even the best way of gauging its success. And secondly, those of us interested in promoting a vibrant but credible social media sector need to start pushing for more independent regulation. She also goes into more details about those two points, so definitely go have a look at that on the site. Our third story for the day, making technical advertising relevant. This is by Anne Druce, who's saying, open any technical journal and with a few exceptions, the advertising is dire. The company logo is usually at the right and top. They are highlighting the real problem. The advertiser thinks their ad is all about them. This is probably why technical ads so often include every possible detail about the company, regardless of its relevance. There may be detailed product specs for several products, a mention of associated companies, and too many photos, usually too small to be seen. It's as though an entire company profile or product manual has been edited down to a full page ad. She's saying this is a trap and people need to stop doing this. So she gives you some advice in the rest of the article, so definitely go have a look at that. Conversation Capital shows great return on investment. This is by Ingrid Stain from Indigo Zebra. She's saying, we all want people to talk about us in a good way, of course. We all want people to say how great we are. We are all kind of operate and motivated by ego. So she's saying, the question is, how do you get noticed? Or do you want to be noticed, and do you want people to interact with you? This is the basis of any solid communications platform. Firstly, establish what you want and then work in tandem with the rest of your circle to start the conversation. The way in which we do business today has changed dramatically, and she often feels that communications professionals have not adapted to fast enough to embrace these changes, and many still operate in the old-fashioned way of meeting the client, get the client to sign a retainer, draw up a communications plan, set up monthly deliverables, and then meet that client once a month for a feedback report. She's saying this is no longer the way it should be done. She's kind of saying today the communication specialist needs to sit at the table right from the beginning of the concept conversation and work with the entire team to establish firstly what the business goals are, and from there what the key conversation capital is. But definitely go have a look at that article. Ingrid gives you some more points about how she believes the communication industry should be adapting and how things should be working nowadays. And then our last story for the day we've got Unpacking the New Lurie's Effective Creativity Award. For the 2013 Lurie's Awards, a new category, Effective Creativity, has been introduced. The organizers unpack the reasoning behind the creativity of this new category. They're saying, look, the new category is different from the Apex Awards in three ways. It's saying you need to be eligible, you need to enter the Lurie's Effective Creativity category. A campaign must have won a Lurie in the past 2 years. So this means winners from 2011 and 2012 are eligible, and either bronze, silver, gold, or Grand Prix. And while the Apex Awards judge campaigns based on proven effectiveness, creativity is not a criteria for winning. We're obviously, with this new category of effective creativity, both effectiveness and creativity come into play. And then lastly, the Apex Awards focus on above-the-line advertising. So any Lurie winning piece of work, regardless of category, is eligible for the award if the agency can demonstrate that it achieved a business result. So this is quite exciting. I think this is quite necessary for the Luries, and good call for them. That was your news roundup for the day. There's those stories and more on bizcommunity.com. We are going to take a quick song by Jack White, and then we'll be back with John Cooney.
Biz Takeouts, the Biz Community Marketing and Media Show on 2OV.FM.
Welcome back to Biz Takeouts, the Marketing and Media Show. That was Jack White with 16 Saltines. Today on the show, we're chatting to John Cooney, who is, he's got over 40 years experience in the industry, which I find quite hard to believe looking at you, because you don't look that old.
You're very kind.
You're the current MD of Red and Yellow, School of Magic, or Logic and Magic.
LM, alphabetical.
Okay. What is the logic and what is the magic?
It was perhaps best summed up by a guy called Robin Putter, who said that an idea is a bridge between logic and magic. And the magic is what we call the creative side of the business. In our logo, it represents the splodge, the red, because it's that sort of thing of soft values, of ideas and of emotion and you know, this whole business about sort of coming up with notions about brands and things. And that mixes with the logic, and the logic is the business sense of the business. It's okay. We call them suits.
Yeah.
They're mostly not male, they're mostly ladies,
yeah.
But they're still called suits. And that really is, if you like, it's both have to do with brands, but the one is the sort of what is the magic of the brand, and the other is the sort of logic of the brand. Okay. And does it make sense?
And but it was all about mixing logic and magic to find that perfect match.
We say to our students, you know, from whatever you've done up until now, you're either sort of hardwired to be logical or magical.
Yeah.
You are like that. You can probably do a bit of both. But when you're most valuable in creating any sort of effective communication is when you're on this bridge between the two.
Yeah.
When you're both coming out of what you're good at and what you're comfortable with and moving into that space where sort of really exciting things begin to happen.
Okay.
So that's the logic and magic.
Cool. So you're the current MD for Red and Yellow.
Yes.
I think let's kind of go a little bit back in history. When did Red and Yellow start? What is its history?
Okay, it had a start which was, I think, probably unusual for any sort of educational institution or school, in that it was started by a couple of guys in an ad agency, actually in Ogilvy, and when they were really sort of at the peak of their careers and doing very well. And they had sort of come to a stage where they said, well, what are we going to go on doing? You know, we're sort of, we've had not even 40 years in the business then, but we've sort of, where next? What do we do? And then the idea sort of came across that from the agency itself, that, you know, a lot of the people who came and joined the agency, and at that stage too, you know, I mean, it was very successful, still is, very successful agency. The whole thing was when people came aboard, they weren't really productive. They didn't really know what to do.
Hmm.
They knew about copywriting, or they knew about art direction, graphic design. They knew about those sorts of things. They knew about media or strategy. But, hey, how do we actually fit in here and do stuff and become productive and make things happen? And that's how Red and Yellow was started, by these two guys, Brian Seltrup and Alan Roth, to say, how do we get young talent and get it productive quickly? So I think the other thing about that is if you're a young person and you join a company and you sort of wait for 2 years before you start feeling that you're really doing anything,
they're
quite frustrating
from
both sides. So that, I think, was, you know, the simple reason. And Red and Yellow was born for that reason, to get these guys still motivated and happy and doing things and working with bright young minds.
So it was essentially an internal Ogilvy little division.
It did a lot. Yeah, it moved into different premises. It wasn't internally, but it was founded very much on sort of, you know, the Ogilvy way of doing things, the Ogilvy way of thinking, and then it spread out and it started taking people. And it was only creative ones. I didn't say that.
Yeah.
It was only magic.
Okay.
So it really was only art direction, graphic design, and copywriting right up until 1999.
Okay, it's just that's...
You know, that was quite a long time, but it was very much then a creative school. And I knew Brian Seltrup. I'd actually worked with him. And just before 1999, I said, you know, how can you have, I didn't really even know it then, but how can you just be magic?
Yeah.
You know, where's the sort of business side of it? Where's the logic? And that was when that was put together.
Yeah, two departments which often butt heads, but are essential.
Still do.
Yeah.
And maybe some of, you know, what do they say? If you want to sort of make a fire with stones, you've got to have one that's pretty prickly, and the other, if they're both the same, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
And I think that's the beauty of it. And I think the most important thing for young people early on in this business is to recognize that they need each other, and to recognize one another's strengths.
Yeah.
And not to be sort of like, oh, they do things in a different way. They don't. They do. That's the fun of it.
Okay. So you mentioned it started out as purely creative. So now obviously it's moved on to the marketing side. What are the various disciplines you guys are currently covering?
Okay. On the creative side, as I've mentioned to you, there's the art direction graphic design courses are 3-year courses, and they're mainly for people who come straight out of school and have expressed an interest and an ability in being able to communicate visually. The copywriting is currently a 2-year course, and again, it's people who don't necessarily have to have a degree, but they've probably, it's quite hard to get a, oh, and both those things, the end, what do you get at the end of that? It's not the certificate, it's the portfolio.
Yeah.
And the copywriting, we find, is a 2-year course, and at the end of 2 years, you've had enough to put a good portfolio together. On the marketing side, it's a postgraduate course. It's a postgraduate by filter.
Yeah.
It's not a postgraduate because they've already, you know, they've got the degree. So it's not an honors course. It's a filter, and it really prepares people for the work. And it's quite simple. The way the course runs, it has a whole lot of modules. And the first module, in broad sense, if we were to link it, you're a sportsman.
Yeah.
Okay. What sport have you played?
Football.
Yeah. Okay. Let's take a team sport.
Yeah.
The first part of the course is, how does football work? Mm-hmm. What is this business all about? Who are the, you know, What are the referees? How do you score goals? Who are the players? What does the field look like? And we do exactly that with what the marketing and advertising communications business is about. We move straight from that, and I'll fill in the sort of rest afterwards. We said, what can I ask you? What position did you play?
Defender, mid.
Mid,
yeah.
Okay. So, and, you know, why did you play mid? And
yeah, well, it's where you play to my skills. And,
it was where you were best, I promise you. And your coach thought that, and your teammates thought that, and you thought that. So the second thing we do is we say, if you're going to go into this industry, on the suit side, the marketing side, what are you going to do? And it breaks into to three parts. In any sort of communication, we believe there's what you say, which we call strategy, and that's the content of the message. There's how you say it, and the how you say it is working very closely with the creatives and, you know, speaking the language of the brand or expressing it in a way that the people who are going to use the brand will understand. And the third, and probably the one that's changed most in the last few years, is where and when are you going to say it? Mm-hmm. And if you take it, you know, look at what a suit did when I was a suit.
Yeah, Mad Men.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It hasn't changed all that much. Yeah. It's become, I think, much more project management rather than he has a big budget, go spend it.
I was going to say, I don't drink whiskey at work.
Okay. You know, and I think also on the sort of on the handling the strategy side, it's those have remained the same, but the media side's exploded. Hmm. So, you know, that's the channel planning side is we think, wow, that's where things have really changed.
Okay.
And as we unwind the year, those first two halves are how does it work? You know, what position you're going to play, and the second half of the year is playing the game. So that's the broad outline of the marketing course. But within that, wow, we cover everything. You know, we cover segmentation, we target the whole lot. We find there's a lot of information in this business, and I think one of the things that's perhaps most difficult for young people coming into this business, probably for people who've been in the business for a long time, is to actually get the sort of insights out of the information. Mm-hmm. So a lot of what we do is spent at sort of looking at saying, how do you become a master of exclusion? Mm-hmm. How do you? And I saw you running up with your warm up.
Yeah.
You got a lot of stuff in there.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of stuff around. And how do you sort of break that down into what are the elements that you should be working with?
Yeah.
So the course does that. But we do. You know, there's a media component. There's a strategy component.
And
all those things.
And the various courses kind of where they also end up working together. So you've
they build on one another. We couldn't do the second half of the year without the first.
Okay.
And you know, probably. You know, you learn 75% in the second year and 25% in the first. Mm-hmm. But it's like sport. You learn the rules, you learn the positions, and then you play the game, and you get better and better as you go along.
Of course.
And one of the things we're very lucky, we use a lot of outside people. Mm-hmm. So when we're looking at insight research, we'll work with a company or the two companies who are very good at that. When we work with the digital, well, we've now got the relationship with Quirk, we'll work with people in that business.
You actually mentioned something there, which is very exciting news. Yes. The whole merger with Quirk.
Yeah.
So, why did that happen? What are the benefits for Red and Yellow as a school?
Okay. Well, how it's amazing. I mean, I think serendipity is big in our business. It has been in Red and Yellow, and it has been in I think lots of people's careers. But we'd sort of realized, we'd said, we have this thing called magic, and we think we're quite good at it. And then we have this thing called logic, and we think we've put those together quite well, and we understand this place called a bridge, and that there are ideas on that. But where, we're missing something. More and more, the consumer, and like Quirk says, they are born digital.
Yeah.
They started digital. I think, who was it, Google or internet? Somebody just had their 21st.
Google.
Yeah. It's like a long time ago.
Crazy.
Crazy. And we thought, how do we get our logic and magic into that space? Mm-hmm. How that's wrong. How do we bring that whole space into the space we're already quite good at with logic and magic? And I was sort of once chatting to Rob about doing a thing that we call a crossover. Mm-hmm. And a crossover is where logic and magic works together on a live client brief. We spend a lot of time on live client briefs. And I said, why don't we do a crossover? And that sort of developed. And he said, yes, I'd like your logic and magic. And we said, well, we need your digital, we need your online, we need the technology. And it just made sense.
Yeah.
And the other thing is too, they we actually merged with Quirk Education.
Yeah.
And They had already shown that they were that they had mastered parts of that field. All the online stuff that they do is incredible, mm-hmm. and you know we don't. We just have full time courses, so there's a blend there too.
So are you going to be offering online courses now, or are they going to kind of form part of the current courses you have?
No, I think what we'll do and what we've started to do is really just put together things that we can put together from our different perspectives at the moment.
Okay.
But get those perspectives to sort of get closer and closer together as we move forward.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, for the first year, what we've been seeing is, wow, we just have this digital knowledge. We haven't really yet integrated it as everywhere we should, but that's part of the plan.
Yeah.
And you know, I think if you go and talk to MDs of agencies, all of them. If you sort of, everybody says that the race now is from the sort of the really very very technical side to the sort of the more traditional side. The people are going to win are the people who handle the middle ground best.
Yeah.
Now the whole thing is Red and Yellow would never have got to the middle ground without a quirk.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think a lot of the agencies right now are either going, are we going to move? Which way are we going to move? Are we going to bring digital in? And many years ago, it's quite interesting. I had a breakfast with a guy called Drake Birch.
Yes.
He could only be an American.
Yeah.
He was head of the four A's of America. They have to have another A. We had three.
They had the
Associated Advertising Agency of America.
Okay.
They had to do that. And this whole thing of online and digital had just started. And one of the questions put to him was, Birch, who's going to win? The propeller heads, you know, the techies, those guys, or the chaps who understand, you know, like traditional advertising and copywriting? And he said, neither. The guys who understand brands.
Yeah.
And today, understanding brands, understanding consumers.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I think the space is going to be, and certainly, you know, Red and Yellow will move into that space.
Yeah. Well, I completely agree with everything you just said.
I've been waffling.
No, not at all. It all makes perfect sense. I think we need to take a song. I think the last question before we go to a song is, what advice would you give students looking at like a marketing advertising career? Well, what advice would you give them when choosing a school or when choosing where to study?
I think, you know, I mean, all the schools, I think, are good at what they do. It's sort of dependent on what they want to get out of it. I think the difference between different approaches to education is that some you sort of like you choose a degree and you choose a curriculum and you do a whole lot of subjects and you get a whole lot of information. I think other ways of going along is you do all that, but with that you find out a lot about where you fit into that. What are you good at in those things? And I think one of the things that we do well, because it's the way we started and where we all come from, you know, we're not academics. We really all come from the industry. So I think, you know, one of the things that differentiates us is we talk about real brands, real clients, real projects. Mm-hmm. And I think if you're a young person who understands that concept, that notion, and you want to do it, we're a very good place to be.
Yeah.
And hell, they're all good. But, you know, that's I think, our difference.
Okay, excellent. We need to take a quick song, and then we'll come back. We're going to start.
Cool.
We're going to chat about the industry and basic skills and training in general.
Okay. Cool.
We'll be right back after Mumford & Sons.
Thanks, Warren.
Numbered my days, and I'll go along with everything you say. But I ride home laughing, look at me now, that the walls of my town, they come crumbling down. And my ears hear the call of my unborn sons, and I know that choice is color. It all to the watchman's son. I ain't ever lived a year better spent in love. Cause I know my weakness, know my voice, and I'll believe in grace and choice. And I know perhaps my heart is harsh, but I'll be born without a mark. The nurturing my greed and my pride, I stretch my arms into the sky.
cry, Babel, Babel, look at me now, that the walls of my town, they come crumbling down. You ask, where will we stand in the winds that will howl? Is all we see, we'll slip into the cloud. So come down from your mountain and stand where we've been. You know our breath is weak and our body thin. Press my nose up to the glass around your heart. I should have known I was weaker from the start. You'll build your walls, now we'll play my bloody part. To tear, tear them down. Well, I'm gonna tear, tear them down. 'Cause I know my weakness, know my voice. Now believe in grace and joy.
Business drivers and opinion makers, you're listening to Biz Takeouts, the Biz Community Marketing and Media Show on
2OV.fm. Welcome back to Biz Takeouts, the Marketing and Media Show. We're still chatting to John Cooney from Red and Yellow School of Logic and Magic. Is that right?
Yes.
LM. Alphabetical.
Right way. Yeah,
okay.
Alphabetical.
Okay, we've kind of had a look at the school. Yeah. I think I want to look specifically at the industry at the moment, because obviously you've got 40 years experience. I think you've kind of got your finger on the pulse of what's going on in advertising and marketing in South Africa.
As long as the pulse will beat.
Yeah. specifically on the education and training side and skills, what do you think the biggest challenge is facing South Africa, the South African marketing and advertising industry?
I think there's a challenge, and I think there's a component to it. And I think the challenge, one of the big challenges, is to get enough young, bright people wanting to choose this as a career. And getting all the sort of the people from all the different groups into it as quickly as one can, and you know, there is a catch up element, and I think the second aspect is to, once you've said like this is a good place to be, I think the challenge is to get young people particularly to understand what makes them good at this business, because you know you can learn all about it, but a lot of the things that we happen when I talk to agency MDs in particular, and I talk about, you know, like young people moving into the industry and what are the things that they want, they say they want people who know where they can add value. And I think this whole thing about adding value is under, I think agencies and clients and media owners, I think they're under a lot of pressure to find and produce more value with the same resources and not more. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody's sort of saying, you know, we've just got to run leaner and run harder and do all those sorts of things. And it's hard. And I think everybody's quite time pressured. Mm-hmm. I think everybody's sort of, wow, you know, there's all this stuff to get through, and are we doing it? And I think one of the challenges is for the industry to understand and to get to a position where it says, we're on top of what we're doing, we know what we're producing, clients are valuing us, you know, we're valuing clients. We often sort of, you know, hear this thing about, you know, do we talk past each other? Do we talk to each other? And I think one of the biggest challenges facing the industry is to get us all on the same page about what we do, because I think our whole business model is changing.
Yeah. Are there any skills shortage currently in South Africa? So any specific skills?
I think there are, and I think some things are moving in those. I think, for example, in the digital area, you know, because it's new, there's a big need there, and I think that's an area where the skills are changing very, very quickly. So there's lots of learning to be done. I think in other areas the roles are changing slightly. You know, we've seen now a big move to what we call earned media.
Yeah.
So we see like a big need coming all around for things like what we used to call public relations, mm-hmm. but really now it's much more into this area of, am I really somebody who just writes 30-second TV commercials, and I write them very well, and radio spots, and I do very well at all the creative awards? Or is it somebody who can come along? I can come along with something that almost precedes that a little bit, and that's a damn good idea. It's a good brand idea. And I think those sorts of skills are, they're soft skills, and they come out of the harder skills. But those are, I think, the things that we need, or young people need to be able to put together. And I think, you know, they'd be very, very well received. I think sort of, you know, on that aspect, we get a lot of clients coming in now, and I'm sure it's, you know, the clients are under pressure too from shareholders or whatever. Come to me with some ideas, please, but come to me with zero budget ideas.
Yeah, of course.
Come to me with... It's just like, you know, come to me with something that shows me you know how to add value, and something that through it, and everybody thinks that it has to be just an online or a digital idea. Nonsense.
Yeah.
You know, it's any idea, but it's an idea that actually begins to generate. We talk about stickiness, we talk about spreadability, we talk about all those sorts of things. So those are a whole bunch of, I think they're sort of, they're not basic skills. They're sort of skills that are acquired from putting those basic skills together.
Okay, when you say acquired, do you think that someone on the magic side and the logic side, you think they're born, or you think they you think it's something which is learned along the way?
I think it's both.
Okay.
I think it's definitely both, and we've had, and we're having, interestingly, I think more than before, we're having people who actually cross over. I think you know somebody who did a copywriting course and then came back and did a marketing course.
Yeah.
And I think more and more you're getting into the space where there's a lot of common ground, less individual. We talk about not having silos, yet we love saying, I'm going to apply for a job as a copywriter, or I'm going to apply for a job as an art director, or I'm going to apply for a digital production manager. Yeah. And we put people into silos, and then we say, no, don't stay in your silo, please come out of your silo. So
You mentioned copywriters particularly.
Yes.
Do you think copywriters are a dying breed? Do you think we're becoming more visual as an industry?
I think, okay, I have, and it's a, it, this is a John Cooney theory.
Yeah.
I think the more we're online and the more we're on iPads and those wonderful instant electronic beautiful devices, the more the value of the other side helps. I mean, then you need texture.
Yeah.
We watched a thing the other day, and people want to send a greeting card to somebody. Good heavens, why a greeting card? That's special. Why don't you send an email? No, I don't want to send an email. I want to send something that's got feel and smell and texture and touch.
Yeah.
And I think with you know, visual and the written word, I think they work well together.
Yeah.
I don't think the one is going to detract, is going to pull away from the other.
Yeah.
There's more visual around.
Yeah.
But I think the need for people who produce copy, I think is huge, because I mean if I look at guys like John Hunt and Robin, whom I didn't know as well, but the sort of copywriters are the conceptual strategists.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe as Matthew said, it's this word thinking thing rather than writing text.
To me, copywriting is becoming more important because it's a part of the conversation now.
Absolutely.
It's not just a one way sending
a
message out. It's now about the actual conversation where it's key to say what you actually mean.
I think copywriting can drive effective content.
Yes.
And then how you tend to express it visually, if you have the good content at the core, it makes your opportunities much better.
Okay, and then also, I'm going to go back to the whole industry side.
Yes.
I've noticed more and more educational facilities, let's call it that, are going the online route. So online courses, online qualifications. Do you think that's the way of the future? Is that the way things are going to go, or you think it's just an add-on?
I think, you mean online learning?
Yeah, online learning.
Online learning. I don't think the one has to preclude the other. I think I think the long full-time courses have a place, but I think beyond that, I really think, you know, you need topping up, and I think the way to top up is through online. It's so effective, but why not have a mixture of both? You know, and I hope going forward, that's one of the things we'll be looking at, is how to mix. Okay, we have at Red and Yellow, I suppose, anywhere between, sort of depending on the year, 150, 160 students. And I think if you take a company like Quirk Education, they have well over 1,000 taking their courses. Somewhere in the middle, there's something good, you know. And I don't think the one will preclude the other. I think a mixture could work very well.
Yeah.
You know, I know one of the things that the Department of Education talk about, and we sort of try to get our heads around it, is mixed mode teaching.
Mixed mode.
Mixed mode.
Okay.
There's direct content.
Yeah.
There's self-study. And then there's sort of like this mixture between the two, and there's online. And It's got to go that way. They've got to use technology to help teach.
Yeah. How much influence do you, or how much pressure do you get from the Department of Education? Are you guys getting textbooks delivered?
We know that they want to make sure that in what we're doing on all the courses, that the quality of learning, the robustness of what is taught can link to other things. And we're fitting in with that, and we're trying at the same time, and we will retain our, like, this is the working world. And I think, you know, that they understand that.
Yeah.
And with the courses, the higher you go up the course level, the more it can interact.